I'm reading from 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right.
And from Luke 21. Some of the disciples were talking about the temple, how beautiful it looked with its fine stones and the gifts offered to God. Jesus said, "All this you see, the time will come when not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will this be? And what will happen in order to show that the time has come for it to take place?" Jesus said, "Watch out. Don't be fooled. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he.' And the time has come, but do not follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear wars and revolutions. Such things must happen first, but they do not mean that the end is near." He went on to say, "Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and plagues everywhere. There will be strange and terrifying things coming from the sky. Before all these things take place, however, you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be handed over and tried in the synagogues and be put in prison. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. This will be your chance to tell the good news. Make up your minds ahead of time not to worry about how you will defend yourselves, because I will give such words to you and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to refute or contradict what you say. You will be handed over by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends, and some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a single hair from your heads will be lost. Stand firm, and you will save yourselves." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What an ominous passage. Wars and revolutions, pestilence, famine, plagues, earthquakes, betrayal, hatred. Jesus is painting a picture that's hard for us to hear today. We like that other picture: peace on earth and goodwill to all. Mercy mild. That's what we like. It's what I like. But actually, both images, the difficult and the warm, are in this very passage just read. You see, Christmas is coming. It's a beautiful time. And just a couple of weeks in this room, we're going to begin the preparations of Advent as we move toward Christmas Day. It's going to be wonderful. It always is. I can't wait. Last night, our Martha's Kids and Toes for Tots ministry met over at the Asheville Outlets, and there were thousands of people there. It was amazing exposure for those ministries. And it was fun, and people were delightful. And yeah, there were some cads in the crowd, but practically none. Most everyone was built in the enthusiasm of it all. But on the other side of Bethlehem, we think of what happen to that baby when he grew up. For it is our hope that babies grow up, but when they do, it gets hard and difficult, and sometimes it gets like Jesus. It seems that all that's standing on top of itself turns into rubble, at least for a moment. We are in a time of great uncertainty, certainly as a nation, but I believe in our world we are. The very institutions that we have depended on most of all seem to be crumbling around us. Our temples are crashing down. Jesus said, not one stone will be left on top of the other. In the 21st chapter of Luke, the last scene of Jesus' public ministry, according to Luke, he stands there at the temple entrance. That temple's not there anymore. But at that time, it seemed it would be there forever. At that time, no one could really imagine that the temple itself would come crashing down, but it did. You see, there's a stark reality to the misery Jesus paints there. It is that everything, every person, and every institution has a lifespan. Nothing that man has ever developed goes on forever. I dread to say this out loud, and I pray it will be centuries. But you know, the day will come when something will be on this spot besides these church buildings. Soak that in for a moment, will you? But that's the way it always is. Everything has a lifespan. Those disciples and those gathered around Jesus that day could not imagine the truth behind what he was saying. It all began because one person made a very innocent statement. This person spoke about how beautiful the temple is. And they were right. Green and white marble all surrounded the lower foundation of the temple. And on the eastern side of it, there was a gold overlay so that it shone. On top of the green and white marble was this white marble. And it is said that as approaching peoples would see the temple in the distance, they would think they were looking at a snow-capped mountain. The temple was huge. It was made of stone. And surely if anything's going to last forever, it will. Luke 21:6, not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them, Jesus says, will be thrown down. What is right and what is wrong? Now, when I ask that question, you may not be conscious of it, or you may, but your understanding of that which is right and that which is wrong is developed on the shoulders of other people who have taught you, this is the thing you need to pursue. This is the thing you need to avoid. Your understanding of right and wrong may be built on Holy Scripture, some on your parents, grandparents, some friends, some. And yes, you may have done some personal development to come to that understanding. But what's interesting about it is no two of you in this room are identical in your understanding of what is right and what is wrong. You may have large agreement, but if you pursue it long enough, you will find places where you don't agree at all. You see, nothing on this earth lasts forever. Even the things that we understand as being right or wrong, they don't. This morning we celebrated, thanks be to God, the ordination of another woman in our church to diaconate ministry. But it wasn't so many years ago in the lifespan of people in this room that this church towed the Baptist line. Deacon service belongs to men. That's what's right. Women, oh, though they taught us in Sunday school, though they led us to Jesus, though they are the backbone of the church, though they are about 75 to 80% of the participation in the church, no, they can't be a deacon. What I'm saying to you is, even the things that we say with such fervor are up for change. That's why it's very important that when we are on social media especially and we want to share what we think or believe, we do it with kindness and gentleness. Because there's a good chance that a lot of the things that are being said vehemently with strength and no gentleness will later be regretted when people say, I don't feel that way anymore. Everything has a lifespan. Perhaps in so many ways we're confused, but we ought to be. The temple that housed all the answers came tumbling down. So many of the temples that we've put our confidence in have also come tumbling down. In the past generation, there has been a hemorrhage of people leaving the church. You say, Joe, you mentioned that a lot. I'll continue to. It's a call or an alarm for us to be aware. Praise be to God that you're here. Please never doubt but that you are appreciated. It's never taken for granted that you're here. Thank you. But there has been this hemorrhage where people have made a determination, and for the first time in American history, they are not leaving here to go over there. They are leaving here to go to church nowhere. The fastest growing group of people in American ethic and spirituality are the, and they are called this, I didn't coin this, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They claim no affiliation to faith. And here's where we sometimes are quick to not be gentle. Well, if the church did a better job of proclaiming the message, or if Christians in the church did a better job of avoiding hypocrisy, and the oars go on and on and on. But the reality is, what 40 years ago seemed like a solid rock temple is crumbling down in front of us today. And with that institution, other institutions are falling down. I was at the hospital this morning visiting Alvin Hall, and on my way back, I passed by this large conglomeration of athletic fields here in Candler. It's beautiful, and I'm grateful that it's here. And it was covered up with competitive teams. Now, we might say, yeah, we need to make that against the rules. Once again, nothing on Sunday and Wednesday night. No, we don't. No. We just need to live the Jesus life in such a way that people say, I want to choose church on Sunday. Coercion never led anyone to Jesus. You remember All in the Family, some of you. Archie Bunker. He said, yeah, we know how to win those nations. He was speaking of the African continent. We know how to win those nations. You take them out to the water and you put a knife to their throat and you ask them if they believe, and if they don't, well, but if they do, then you let them go. Making people believe is impossible. I may say I believe to get the knife away from my throat, but People believe because of what they see and experience and what God does inwardly within them. Since ancient times, societies have understood the responsibility of caring for the disadvantaged. If I had to encapsulate Jesus' ministry into one sentence, and you can't, excuse me, it would probably be this. Jesus said, care for the poor and speak for those who have no voice and do it in my name. There is mounds of scriptural information that Jesus wanted us to speak for and care for the poor. But what do we do today? We argue, well, are we really helping the poor when we give them all these handouts? Are we really doing them a favor when we give them free, free, free? If you read your Asheville paper today, you will see an article that will tell you about 85 Buncombe County children under the age of 8 spent last night in a car. Well, now that's their parents' fault, Joe. Well, I'm sure they bear some of that responsibility. But, you know, it's interesting. I don't recall Jesus ever saying, figure out who's at fault before you go in there to help. The church is called to be light in darkness, even the darkness of a car on a cold night. Wouldn't you rather get it wrong because you gave too much than get it wrong because you didn't do enough? Wouldn't you? Of course you would. I know you. You're the most loving group of people I do know. So we have this light to bear, to bless the poor and the voiceless, but to also pray for those who don't know Jesus, even if they're the wealthiest people or those in between. The temple of religion and the temple of government in our nation is tumbling down right now. I read a historian this past week who said, certainly the greatest time of division in our nation was the Civil War, but other than that, our nation has never been as divided as it is today. It has occurred to me that maybe the first Civil War is not the last Civil War for our nation. Maybe that's coming. You see, even the United States is not going to last. Most of you in this room remember the USSR, don't you? Do you remember when Khrushchev, before the United Nations in 1962, declared that the USSR would be here in 1,000 years, but that the United States will fall from within? Well, he may have gotten half that right, I don't know, but the USSR is no more. Nothing lasts on this earth forever. We have reason to be sad that our temples are being destroyed. We put a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, sweat, and money into them. But Jesus speaks up and he says, in the midst of this ruin, don't be depressed. Don't be dark. Don't be hopeless. In Luke 21 verse 13, this is what Jesus says. All these things are happening, and it will result in your being witnesses. In other words, as people watch their temples crumble, they are going to look for people who seem to be unafraid and filled with light. And if that's you, they're going to look to you. But if you're wringing your hands like everybody else, and if you're declaring gloom and doom and, oh, woe is our nation going in this direction or that, and your voice sounds like every other voice, nobody will notice your voice. But when you speak of what Jesus said, You are given the opportunity to be a witness in the midst of temples crashing down. How do we do that? Well, the first thing we got to do is be careful. In the 21st chapter of Luke, verse 8, Jesus says, be careful that you're not deceived. In other words, there's a lot of stuff going on out there that you can just buy into because it's there. Well, it must be true. It's on TV. Must be true. It's on the internet. Jesus says, be not deceived. Do not get bogged down into theological detail. Notice what it says. Don't try to figure out when the end is coming. Don't try to pin Jesus down. Oh, Jesus is going to come here. I think in the next little while, how many times in my ministry have I had people say to me, I'm pretty sure he's coming back in my lifetime. One day he's going to come back in somebody's lifetime, maybe ours, maybe now. But Jesus says, don't try to get caught up in that. We can't. Then he says, do not be frightened. That is the word from the creation story of Genesis to the final amen of the Revelation. Do not be frightened. In the 14th verse of Luke 21, Jesus says, make up your mind not to worry about how to defend yourselves. Wow. Now, I could go in a direction right now. Here's Joe being political again. I'm not going to go there because of that. But isn't it amazing that Jesus says, make up your minds how now not to spend time thinking how you're going to defend yourself. And he goes on, listen, for I, Jesus says, speaking of himself, for I will give you the words of wisdom you need to overcome your adversaries. Wouldn't it be something if Christian people just took Jesus at his word and trusted that he's got us? Well, Joe, what are you going to do when those bad people show up? They just may kill you. They just may. In this passage in Luke 21, Jesus says the people who follow him this way will undergo great persecution. They will be beaten and imprisoned. And listen, Jesus goes on to say, and some of them will be put to death. It's in that same frame of thought, that same chapter of Scripture, that same moment of conversation, Jesus says, do not worry. I will give you what you need. Man, I want to trust him that way. I don't. But I think I do trust him that way more today than I did yesterday, and I hope I will more tomorrow than I do today. It was the great Winston Churchill who said four times, never, 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 never give up. Jesus said that in Luke 21, verse 19. Here is where we begin to see those contradictory images come back together. It sounds like it's all destruction and brokenness and sadness. And then over here, Jesus is saying, no, but there's light and there's hope. And there's meaning. And isn't that really what we want out of life? Meaning. Don't we want our lives to have tilted the trajectory just a little for the people who follow us? Joe, when I look around the old earth, it seems to me there is a dark light, a darkness everywhere. Well, you've not thought about Bethlehem lately then. Because in that tiny, tiny town, not nearly the size of Candler, Jesus made his entrance. What did the angel say to the people below who were thinking probably not so much about sheep as, am I going to have enough food on the table for my family? Shepherds were the poorest of the poor. What did the angel say to those shepherds? Fear not. Yeah, there's shadows and darkness everywhere, but fear not. For I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you, listen, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Go into the city and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Man, I love that. Not go into the palace and see him laying there in the emperor's bedroom. Not go into the library and see him there in the annals of great theology and wisdom. No, go into a barn. That's where you'll see God showing up. And so, we are called to know, on the one hand, every temple has a lifespan. Every one of them. And on the other hand, to know that he is our shelter and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble, and that our call from God is not to keep the temple standing, never has been. Our call from God is to trust him with the defense. Trust God with the defense. Amen.